All right, you got your Bible tonight to Matthew chapter 5. Stand for the reading of one verse of Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, I am preaching a message tonight that pastor wanted preached. And I always believe in pastoral authority. And we were in Puerto Rico and I was working on this message. And he said, all right, this summer you're supposed to preach on salt. And I said, yes, sir, I'll simply do that. That took all the guesswork out of having to pray about that. So when I prayed that I'd preach it right, but I knew you were in connection with heaven, so I'm going to preach on salt tonight. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Notice the words, ye are the salt of the earth. Preach your message tonight entitled, Pass the Salt. Or good for nothing. Thank you. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, more importantly, the God of the Word. Thank you for the ears that you have given us. Somebody said you've been faithful. The truth of the matter is, Lord, you've been faithful to us. I've never preached a word without you. I've never done anything without you. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Would you help us to be faithful to you because you've been so faithful to us? Help us to understand this little truth tonight. You're the salt of the earth. And as we look at it, may we leave and live it, and may people understand there's a difference in us than in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 has been called by some the greatest sermon ever preached. Without a doubt, it was preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived and still lives today, Jesus Christ. When he finishes what is known as the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, the Bible says the people were astonished, our word, wowed. They were awed because he spake unto them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Matthew 1 or 5, 1 through 12, you know it to be the Beatitudes or the blessed attitudes. And then he ramps up and he said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is reward is in heaven. And at that climax, then he brings everybody back down to earth and says, you are the salt of the earth. He goes from the principle to the practical. He moves from the character to the conduct. And he's going to talk to them about influence. If there's anything this wicked world needs, and even in the United States of America, it is Christian influence. It is being impacted by people who do know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice tonight, first of all, the worth of salt. Why in the world was this word so important? What was the potency of it? Well, because of its ingredients, it has worth. Did you know that salt is made from two poisonous substances? It's made from sodium, which is a white alkali that's much like a metal. It's poisonous. It's made from chloride. Most of you understand that hydrochloric acid will burn your hands off, and if you swallow it, it'll take your life. And so God, the great chemist of the universe, takes two terrible poisons and makes a tremendous product called salt. Only God can do that. God can take the sin in our lives and the sickness and the stubbornness, and he can mix it with his grace, love, and mercy. And he comes up with a substance called salvation. And we who are worthless sinners become worthwhile saints. And only the God of the Bible can do that. I don't want to assume tonight that everybody in this crowd is going to heaven. And I want you to know how simple it is. If you'll admit that you're a sinner and you'll acknowledge that Jesus is not a way, but the only way to heaven. And if you'll repent of your sin, it means change your mind. You can't change your life, but you can change your mind. And if you'll transfer all of your trust to the one who's trustworthy and accept Jesus for who he is, he indeed will save you. God needs no help to save anybody. Often I say to people when they get saved, I said, now let's suppose that I was working for the Coast Guard and you were out in the ocean and you were a strong swimmer, but you were tired and you knew that you couldn't swim another lick and you were going to die. And we come and I throw you a life preserver and pull you in. Would you get in the boat and say, didn't we do good saving me? And they always say, no, I didn't save me. You saved me. And I said, that's what happens when you get saved. God doesn't need any help. Not one work you've done will work, but the work that Jesus did always works. And if you'll say no to sin and yes to God's Son, the great poison of your life will become powerful in the hands of an almighty God. So by the ingredients, it's that way, but also by its importance in that day. From the beginning of time, writes the historian, salt has been an important integral part of world history as it's been interwoven with daily lives of countless historic civilizations. Salt and history have been valued, and its product was legally restricted even in ancient times. It's interesting, the first war known to man was fought over salt. In the Roman Empire, they had salt money. You note it as salary. In the Latin, it was salarium. You've heard people say that guy's not worth his salt. That's where it came from. Did you know for a period of time in the first century, salt and gold were trading equally? 1 pound of salt, 1 pound of gold. People sold their children temporarily into slavery because salt was so valuable. First patent in the UK was for salt. The Erie Canal was known as the Salt Ditch because it was primarily built so they could transport salt. The first book on pharmacology, Miss Beth, had to do with 40 different types of salt. And salt through the centuries has been very, very important. In short, the innocuous looking white granular substance we know today as salt historically has been essential to all of life. Pliny said, without salt, life cannot be sustained. Can't keep going. If you can't say it, just spit it out. In the Roman Empire, they said, besides sun, nothing is more important than salt. So tonight, you ought to sit up with dignity because Jesus has said, you are the salt of the earth. That's the worth of it. But I want you to listen for a moment about the work of salt. What was it good for? You realize salt is distinctively different from any other product. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. There is nothing just like salt. When salt is present, you always know it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to make a difference, you have to be different. Would you say that with me? If you're going to make a difference, you have to be different. And so I began to study and I thought, wonder why salt was so important. Well, you have to understand, Jesus is on the hillside, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, primarily for his disciples. But there's a multitude, Matthew 4 tells us. And so you've got religious leaders there, common folk, and we don't know the totality of the number. But as he sits and speaks, he can look out and the people know that they're by the Sea of Galilee. What went on the Sea of Galilee? Fishing. They were fishing while he was preaching. Some of them had no idea that Jesus was on the hillside. So when he said, you're the salt of the earth, everybody knew that salt stops corruption. In that day, when they took the fish out, they immediately salted it because of the heat. How many of you fish in this building? Can I see your hands? All right. People ask me, Dr. Farrell, you like to fish? The answer is no. I like to catch fish, and there's a difference. If they're not biting in 15 minutes, I do something important, Pastor, like go play golf. Amen. Some of you, if you fish, you put them on one of those stringers and they stay in the water. You put them in an ice cooler. They didn't have refrigeration in that day. The only way that they could transport them and make any money was to salt those fish down. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that this world is corrupt? When did we ever believe, as born-again believers, that on June 26, 2015, five unelected lawyers that call themselves Supreme Court justices would decide that they know more about marriage than the God who made man and woman and marriage? I'm embarrassed that they could do that. But I have news for the Supreme Court. They are not the Supreme Christ. And Jesus Christ will trump everything the court says because God will have the final word. Now, if indeed we have such a corrupt society, and by the way, in case you're wondering, I said shortly after that, what stops people from marrying their children? What stops them from marrying their own parents? What stops them from doing what Nero did? And I wouldn't even tell you the details, but what stops that? Already, they're petitioning men with children. It's in the United States of America. Now, what's going to happen? Well, if we're going to be what we ought to be as salt, we have a responsibility to live such a holy and godly life that we are able to stop the corruption in this country. There was a time no Supreme Court justice would have ever voted for what we just saw happen 2 months ago. It's interesting, according to Lloyd-Jones, that what kept England from the same revolution that France had was the move of God in revival under the Wesleys and Whitfield. And it's time once again for the people of God to stand up and be counted and helped by His power and His grace to stop corruption. But not only did salt stop corruption, also season substance. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be always with grace, seasoned with salt." I'm not even going to ask you, but if you're on a salt-free diet, I feel sorry for you. I think I'd just soon die as not have salt. Somebody said, it's going to kill you. I said, well, what a way to go. I just don't want to be bland and boring. I like salt. I spent part of my summers on the farm. My grandfather raised watermelons. Anybody here like watermelon? You will if you go to heaven, trust me. So he raised watermelons, and any time he picked out a salt shaker when we left the house and put it in a bib overalls, I knew what was going to happen. We were going out to watermelon patch. We were going to load them on. We were going to sell them. And he did the same thing every time on purpose. He dropped the watermelon, and he said, "Oops, I guess we're going to have to eat that one, son." That's what I brought this for. And brother, we grab a piece of that watermelon. Brother Greg, you're a North Carolina boy. You know what I'm saying. And put that on there, and it dripped all down your chin and all over your clothes. But my mother wasn't there, so you just burn them. You don't even bother to save them. And so salt made it exactly what it should be. Let me simply say tonight, we need to stop and stand against the corruption. But we also need to season with grace what we do. For instance, I believe that we need grace and grit, not either or. I believe both are necessary. I am totally opposed to abortion. It is murder. But I'm also opposed not to picketing in front of an abortion clinic. That's fine. But I am opposed to blowing them up and murdering when you're opposed to the murderers. That's not godly. I am totally opposed to most everything Mr. Joe Biden stands for. But I'm also opposed to a church out in Kansas, or they call themselves a church, who had the audacity to go to his son's funeral who died from cancer and picket and going, that's not the testimony of Jesus Christ. How in the world do we think we're going to get anybody to the Savior acting like pagans ourselves? And so we're to season our society. And then salt seals covenants. In Numbers chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible talks about a salt covenant. So I had to look that up, Brother Elstock, because I didn't know what a salt covenant was. And I found out that when the people made a transaction, they would take a pinch of salt. It would be much like today notarizing a contract. Most every adult in this building has borrowed money or has had to sign a contract, and you had it notarized. It gave it authenticity. In essence, when two people made a salt covenant, they said, we will watch out for each other. We will be true to each other. We will keep our word. John 13, 35 says, by this all men shall know you're my disciples because you have love one for another. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what authenticates Christianity to the people out there. It's the way the people in here treat each other. Now listen to me very carefully. If you're going to bite and devour one another and become a Christian cannibal, if you're going to down people, if you're going to treat them as ungodly, why in the world would anybody out there want to come in here when people in here don't act much different than the people out there? And it's high time that we as salt authenticate the fact that Jesus is real, salvation is real, and people can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your practices validate and authenticate God's promises. Let me say that again. Your practices authenticate God's promises. Would you say that with me? Your practices authenticate God's promises. If they don't see it in you, why would they give glory to God? So it seals covenants. Fourth, it sweetens sacrifices. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 49, every sacrifice shall be salted. Well, I'm sure you've got this figured out. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, the truth of the matter is, we have to sacrifice some things, but we ought not look like we have been taken to the altar and our throats have been slit. There are some folks who actually look like an advertisement for the reprint of the Book of Lamentations in their face. And people are not interested in folks who look like they came out of a holy hut to a holy huddle, talking about everybody else is unholy, and walk out like they're in a straitjacket and look like they've been hailing mustard and drinking mayonnaise. Why in the world would anybody want what we have? The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I said to a guy one night when I was preaching, I said, we need to learn to rejoice. And he said, I am rejoicing. I said, wonderful, tell your face. It hadn't heard yet. Her name was Helen Ewing. She was a Scottish gal, got saved at early age. When she passed away, they found that she had a prayer journal in which she prayed daily for over 300 missionaries by name. When she walked in, if people were complaining, they ceased because of the presence of God in her life. She felt that God wanted her to be a missionary, and so she'd already surrendered and started studying the Russian language so that she could go to Europe. But at age 22, God said, Helen, time to come home. It is said that Scotland went into mourning when Helen passed away. Her roommate at the University of Glasgow said, and I quote, she left the fragrance of Christ wherever she went. Wow. That's what salt is all about. You know, there's some people you rejoice when they come in, and there's others you rejoice when they leave. I'd like to ask you all over this building, does anybody get excited when you come because you bring the fragrance of Christ with you? Or is it just when you're leaving that folks are excited? Well, you understand that salt also stimulates thirst. Brother Joyner, I'm going to come down here and stand with you. Do you like country ham? God bless you. We'll spend eternity in red eye gravy and a big biscuit. Amen. Brother Joyner and I are North Carolina boys. You can tell us, but you can't tell us much. We just happen to like to eat. I think they put red eye gravy in my formula. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, see me in the lobby and I'll explain this. Salt ham is cured literally with salt. Lots of it. Some years ago, I was preaching in a foreign country called Michigan, and when I was went to breakfast, they had, Brother Sam, they had a menu, and it said bacon, sausage, or ham. I asked an innocent question. I said, ma'am, the waitress, is this country ham or city ham? She said, I don't know. I'll go ask the cook. She came back a few minutes later, and she said, the cook doesn't know. I said, give me sausage. This stuff couldn't be fit to eat. And so when you eat country ham, I can tell you what you want all day long. Anybody got it figured? You want water. I'm going to preach a message one day, Brother Fermin, entitled, Are You a Country Ham Christian? Is anybody thirsty for Jesus because of you? I was preaching in Wilmington, North Carolina, and a man working for the Honda Corporation brought 14 co-workers to a night known as Co-Worker Night. He filled up two rows. When I gave the invitation, 12 of the 14 trusted Jesus Christ. I was basically insignificant that night because when they came out to give their testimonies, they were all looking at John, who was a salty Christian working for Honda. I remember one guy said, John, you've been telling me for 3 years I needed to do this. I got saved tonight. He got up, this guy, they met in the middle, looked like two Christmas trees applauding. I mean, it was exciting. And that place went into holy hallelujahs. What happened? John was salt. Teenagers, good to see some of you again. Y'all look better and smell better than last time I saw you at camp. It's interesting, I was preaching in North Carolina, and a young man had been in a public school. He got converted. After he got converted, 2 months later, he was in a Christian school. And he heard I was going to preach on Bible prophecy. He said, I keep preaching Bible prophecy on Friday night. I said, yes, son, I am. He said, I'll have my buds here. He had 12 unsaved friends from his public high school. They all sat up front. That's influence. That's being salt. When I gave the invitation, 11 out of 12 trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the point. They didn't know me in Wilmington, North Carolina, but they knew John. They didn't know me in the other area of North Carolina when I was, but they knew this teenager had been converted and he was making people thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is anybody thirsty? Are you stimulating thirst for anybody? And then finally, salt sterilizes wounds. I learned something about a salt that I didn't really realize, and I should have, but it's kind of an antiseptic. How many of you have ever had a sore throat and gargled with salt? Would you raise your hand? Sure you have. Enough to gag a maggot, but you did it anyway. Why? Because salt gets into that raw area, and you and I both know it hurts before it helps. Can I say tonight that one of the greatest problems among born-again believers is we're afraid to hurt anybody. Here's the fact upstairs and down. If you're afraid to hurt anybody by your testimony, you're never going to help anybody when you testify. It's interesting that Napoleon's soldiers died by the hundreds because, Pastor, they ran out of salt and their wounds festered and they died. So I'd like to ask you tonight, are you sterilizing the wounds of this world? When you walk up to a water cooler and you can just tell by what's going on, there's a filthy joke going on, do they stop or feel very comfortable going right along with what they have said when you're there? Do you have a testimony of salt? We've seen the worth of salt, the work of salt, and in closing, I want you to see the waste of salt. God says, if salt loses its savor or its potency or its flavor or its distinctiveness, it's thenceforth good for nothing. Now today, that's not possible. They refine salt so many ways that you can put it on the shelf and cover it over, and 100 years later, it'll still have its potency. But that was not true in the first century. If it was mixed with other substances, for instance, gypsum, the potency came out of it. The word lose savor comes from being dull. I'm reading Greek definitions. Sluggish, stupid, or foolish. There are a lot of born-again believers with all the potential and potency to get a job done and impact this old world, but because of some foolish things, some stupid things, just kind of being dull, just existing instead of excelling, they have lost their savor. And God says when that happens, they're good for nothing. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching the Bible. Everybody in this building tonight is either good or good for nothing. I'm going to say it again so you can put it on your tweet accounts. I said everybody in this building tonight is either good or good for nothing. And the difference is in the salt. If you are helping to sterilize wounds and stimulate thirst, if you're seasoning, if you're actually stopping the corruption, if you're able to be that kind of believer that sharpens others and you're making that salt covenant, then what's happening is you're potent, you're powerful, you're influential, and people are seeing and understanding. And then when you open your mouth and testify, there's something to say because it was something to see. But there's two things that will destroy the value of salt. One, if it's isolated from the earth and the world. How many of you ladies collect anything? Would you raise your hand? Ladies that collect, okay? We've been in homes of people who collect salt shakers. They may be clear. They may be colored. They may be handcrafted. How many of you realize tonight salt in the shaker has no value until it's turned upside down? We have a nice salt shaker. Isn't this a pretty shaker? Can I get an amen tonight?
Amen.
We have lights in this shaker and we have screens in this shaker. Did you get permission to do that? And we have music in this shaker and we have nice seats in this shaker and it's a very, very comfortable salt shaker. And it's fun when we come in. And after all the time in the world, you come in and you kind of go, whew, I'm back in the shaker. But I have news for you. Salt in the shaker is worthless because salt has to be applied to be any good. There are people who come to Valley Forge Baptist Temple and they say, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm glad you do. Thank you for being faithful. I sing in the choir. Wonderful. I help in the maintenance. Great. What I want to know is, when you leave the shaker, do you just kind of huddle with the rest of the shakes? Or do you go out and let the shaker be turned upside down at the restaurant, at the gas station, at Walmart, at Wegmans? Huh? Y'all are looking at me kind of funny. If you don't cooperate, I'm going to start over. Am I right? So it really doesn't make any difference what the shaker looked like. The question is, what's the salt going to do in the shaker? It has absolutely no value until it's applied. So I'd like to know, if I walked to your job tomorrow and walked up to people that know you and I said, I'd like to introduce you to some salt from the shaker of Valley Forge Baptist Shaker. Have you influenced them at all? And then salt is worthless, not only if it's isolated from the earth, but if it's infected by the earth. I told you that if you mix salt with other substances and it sits, it can become without potency. That's exactly what Lot did. In the first place, Lot should have never gone to Sodom. He lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains, and he just kept moving that over message on that. When he gets in, it's estimated he stayed there for 20 years. Here come the angels, and they're on an assignment from God, wipe out Sodom. And so Abraham, the intercessor, gets it all the way down to 10. At least Abraham's saying, my nephew is bound to have taken, let's say he had 6 in his family, he's bound to have led 4 to Jehovah. But it's interesting. They destroyed the city because Lot had become just like the Sodomites. He had no influence. He was being trodden on the foot. It means stomped. It means ignored. It means he had no potency and he was good for nothing but to be cast out and walked over. Can I ask a question tonight? Why is it that in the early days of America, all the way into the 1800s and the early 1900s, Pastor, they used to call the pastors, congressmen and senators would call their pastors and say, how do you think we ought to vote? You don't get too many of those calls anymore. Truth of the matter is, the guy who sits in the White House right now, I don't think cares what God thinks. He's trying to act like a king instead of a president. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't get the potency back in the salt, this nation's had. It's gone. Our grandchildren don't have what we have. Unless we make up our mind that we need to be salt and we need to do exactly what the worth and work was given so that by the grace of God, we don't waste the salt. It's interesting, is it not, that Lot got out with his wife and 2 girls, but the 2 girls he got out of Sodom, he couldn't get Sodom out of, and they end up in an incestuous relationship. And oh, by the way, I think most of you remember that Mama was so much of Sodom and probably heard the cries of her grandchildren, she turned back and was warned not to do that, and she, you help me now, became a pillar of Sodom. And that's the last time Lot ever saw her. And I wonder if God said, see that, Lot? That's what you should have been doing for 20 years. That's what should have happened. But you're worthless. You're worthless. I don't know where you stand tonight, but I know this. Jesus didn't say you're the salt of the church. He said you're the salt of the earth. Jesus didn't say you're the salt of salt. He said you're the salt of the earth. I believe that we ought to, as God's people, sharpen one another, encourage one another, be a blessing to one another. But the main reason God gave salt is so that we could make a difference in a world that is heading for hell. And it's high time we understand we don't become salt. It wouldn't be a good idea if you try to be salt. We are salt. And everybody in this room tonight is either worthwhile or worthless. You are either good or good for nothing. And I can't assess you. It's all I can do to take care of me. But you have to answer the question tonight. What kind of salt are you? Good or good for nothing? The days of Nero He put out a decree that any professed believers, those who were these Jesus people, were to be exterminated. He had a crackerjack group called the Emperor's Wrestlers. They were to be equal to the Navy SEALs today. And these men would, as they went out to on assignment from the emperor, they would saying, we the emperor's wrestling for thee, O emperor, and for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Vespasian was a general. This is a historically accurate story. Vespasian had in his ranks a number of believers that were a part of the emperor's wrestlers. He received, as he was on the border of Gaul and preparing to make a major attack, he received from Nero the edict. He stood up in front of his soldiers and said, if there are any of you that are of this Christ, if you are a Christian, you step forward. And 40 of his wrestlers stood up and stepped forward. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. He said, if this is what you plan to do, then I'll get your mind changed, because I'll send you out to this ice pond in the dead of the night, and you will be disrobed, and you will sit there until you come to your senses. Think of your countrymen, and think of your comrades, and think of your family. And as they began to walk out with only their underclothing in the bitter part of winter, they sang a different song. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, and for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Sundown came. Now it's 9 o'clock. The word was, if you'll just recant, if you'll renounce Christianity, you can come back and warm yourself by the fire. But it's now 1 o'clock in the morning, and he can still hear in the distance 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ. And for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. It's about 2 o'clock. He can't believe what he's been hearing. It's getting a little more fainter because they're freezing. But in the dead of the night, he sees a figure coming back, and almost in a fetal position, he finally crawls near the fire, and one of the emperor's soldiers turned away from Christ. Vespasian had been listening to them sing, and he'd seen their testimony, and he understood how salty they were, and he'd had enough. And so he disrobed himself of his armor, and he walked out on the ice, and he walked up to the wrestlers, and all of a sudden there was a deep baritone voice. No longer from General Vespasian, but from Vespasian the Christian. And they began to sing, 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ. And for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Vespasian turned his back on the Roman Empire and came to the Redeemer, because he actually met genuine salt. It's high time the leaders in this country understand Vespasian and come to the King, because they see and sense the salt that we have. Let's bow our heads to pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. I wonder if there's somebody in the house tonight and say, preacher, one of two things is true. Either I'm not born again, or I'm not sure. Either I've not been saved, or I'm not certain that I've been saved, but I'm very concerned about my soul. I made a practice never to embarrass anybody, but always to help somebody that would admit they need help. But I couldn't pray for you unless you'd tell me that. As I let my eyes look all across this building, I wonder if there's somebody tonight and say, preacher, either I'm not going to heaven, or I'm not sure, but I'm concerned about my soul. I know I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand upstairs or down? Anywhere in this house tonight, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to die in my sin and go to hell. Pray for me. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, please. Everyone standing. As we're bowed before the Lord, you're the only one that can answer this. You are worth something, not because of what you've done for Jesus, but because of what he did for you. If you're saved and you say that you are tonight, then you have value that was imputed to you by the righteousness of Jesus, and you also have work. You're salt. You're supposed to stop corruption, are you? You're supposed to season your society, are you? You're supposed to have a covenant and seal that covenant and authenticate it among the brethren. You're supposed to have a sweetness in your sacrificial living. You're supposed to stimulate thirst. I wonder tonight, are you doing the work of salt? I can tell you tonight, you're wasting your potency, you're wasting your potential if you're just living in the salt shaker. Because Jesus did not say we were to isolate ourselves from the world, but we were to insulate ourselves from the world. For he said, you are in the world, but not of the world. And some of this building tonight have taken separation to isolation. Jesus never meant that. And then some of you, unfortunately, have decided to be infected by the world. You thought you could look just like the world and win them, but you hadn't won anybody. You thought you could go to the dances and participate in drinking in moderation, and you thought you could take a little cigarette here and there, and you thought that you, just not to offend anybody, you could listen to a little bit of filthy language, and you've had no influence at all. You don't know anybody's going to heaven because of you. And you have been infected by the world. So let me go back to what I asked. How many of you can say tonight, preacher, I'm not perfect. I'm not all that I want to be. I have not arrived. I'm still en route. But I could say this. I see the worth of salt, and I thank God that He made me worthy. And as salt, I'm fulfilling the work of salt. As a teenager, mom and dad, grandparents, see, you never retire on Jesus. If you're 105, you ought to be salt at 105 that has potency. You may not have as much personal energy, but you can still have that potency. So since you have worth, are you fulfilling the work? How many of you tonight could say with absolute honesty, I'm not perfect, I haven't arrived yet, still got room to grow, but I'm fulfilling, as a born-again, blood-washed believer, I am fulfilling the work of salt on a daily basis. God's watching. I don't know you. He does. If and only if you could say, I'm fulfilling the work of salt on a daily basis by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you raise your hand to the one who knows? Great. Thank God for you. Rejoice with you. But very few. I wonder how many of you would say tonight, preacher, I realize either by having been isolated from the world or being infected by the world, I have lost savor. Truth of the matter is, I've become good for nothing. Truth of the matter is, I don't have the influence I used to have. I'm almost ignored. People act as though I'm not even there when they tell their filthy stories, and they act as though I'm not even there when they have their unethical methods in business. And I want to say this, I haven't had the potency that I ought to have, but beginning tonight, I want to, and by the power of God, will do the work of salt. I've lost my savor, but I want the Holy Spirit of God to restore it again. I realize tonight I've not been salty salt, but by God's grace, that's what I desire. That's what I want. I'm coming back to God tonight. If that's your heart and your desire, would you raise your hand all over this building? Just hold them up real high. Just as high as you can hold them tonight, all over this building. That's me. Here's the invitation in a moment. If you are indeed salty salt, you will not need to kneel. You just remain standing and thank God for His potency in your life and rejoice in what He is doing in and through you. But there are many, many of you said, beginning tonight, I want the salt back. I want potency. We're not going to sing a song. I'm not going to invite you to come forward. But in a moment, you're going to have a place right there by your seat to either kneel down if you can kneel or sit down if you cannot kneel because you're a little older. And pray this prayer tonight. Dear God, I don't want to be good for nothing. I don't want to be without influence. I don't want to be powerless. Thank you that you who made me salt can empower me again to do the work of salt. Many of you raised your hand tonight. If you realize once again you need to be salty salt and have the power and potency of salt, and you'll admit that and spend a moment with God, would you either right now just kneel by your seat or sit down all across this building and tell that to the Lord? We'll wait on you. I want to be salty salt. I want to be potent. I want to be an influence. I want to make an impact. It's time in this old world.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Farrell. Thanks so much for listening to the message that I brought in a crusade somewhere in this country. I hope the message was a blessing and a help to you. Maybe you've heard the Word of God, but not yet received the God of the Word. Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It takes two births in order to go to heaven. Your first birth was a gift by God to you physically, and that's how you got here to this earth. Your second birth is a spiritual birth. It's also a gift, and it comes to you by way of Jesus Christ. How does a person move from religion to a relationship, from knowing about God to really knowing God? It begins when you admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has offended God, turned from Him, made decisions that have offended Him, and missed the perfection of His character. You must admit that you're a sinner, then you must understand who Jesus Christ is. Jesus declared in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Jesus is not just a martyr, nor was He just a prophet. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. You must come to Him for who He is and for what He did. Jesus Christ loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love was demonstrated on the cross when He took your sin on His body and paid for it with His blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How do you receive this Jesus? You come by faith, complete confidence in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. He died for your sin. He shed His blood for your sin. He was buried to take away your sin and raised again the third day to justify you, give you a legally good, godly standing in His very presence. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, and He wants to save you. Would you receive Him today? Would you turn from your way and place your trust in Him? Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and 5, except you repent, you shall perish. He said in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you right where you are receive the gift of eternal life? You can pray a simple prayer with me. It will not be the prayer that saves you. The word pray means to ask. It will be you asking Jesus Christ to save you, and He will do it right now. Would you pray this by faith to Jesus Christ? Here's the simple prayer. Talk to Him from your heart right now. Just pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I admit that I am a hell-deserving sinner. There is nothing I can do to save myself. Today, by faith, I turn from all of my ways and works to You. Jesus Christ, You're God, and there is no other. I now receive Your gift of righteousness, Your gift of eternal life. Save me today. I receive Jesus Christ. Thank You for taking away my sin and making me Your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you prayed that, remember it wasn't the prayer that saved you, but Jesus saved you. Never be ashamed to tell others what He's done for you. We love to hear that you just began a permanent and eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Please contact us at farrellministries.org. That's F-A-R-R-E-L-L ministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you and helping you take your next spiritual step.